This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
So I'm going to be speaking this morning about... Oh, get excited, people. What was that? I am going to be speaking about love, but I might surprise you, actually. I'm going to speak about a facet of love that we haven't talked about yet, but I'll get to that in a minute. First, a little brief recap. Love is the foundation of our Christian life, and God doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of who He is. And Romans 8, this is one of my go-to scriptures this year. We must be people who are fully convinced that God loves us. This is what Paul wrote. And this is what I want you to be able to put your name in here. I, Karen, am convinced that nothing can ever separate me from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today. Who's got fears about today? Or our worries about tomorrow? Who's got worries about tomorrow? Not even the very powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate Karen, put your name in there, from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is where we want to be, fully convinced. So today, the facet of love that I want to talk about is hate. We need to love what God loves, absolutely. But we need to hate what God hates. God is love. And because God is love, there are some things that He does hate. And I want to look at just a few scriptures just quickly right now at the beginning, just to lay that foundation. You would actually be surprised, I think, if you were looking for it, how many times when you're reading your Bible that God talks about what He hates and about what we should hate. So Proverbs 6, 16 to 19 says this, "These six things the Lord hates." Now, when I say hate, I just want to stop there for a minute. He doesn't mean something else. You know, we think of God and think, well, surely He doesn't mean He actually hates it. He actually hates it. That's what He means when He says it. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies." And I want you to listen carefully to this one. "One who sows discord among the brethren." So one who causes trouble between fellow believers. God hates that. Psalms 5, 4 to 6. "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful will not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." You know, we don't have any problem loving what God loves. We love to talk about what God loves. We don't have any problem loving what God loves. But are we prepared to hate what He hates? Most Christians embrace the love message, but I believe many will drift away and grow cold, not because they don't love God. There are lots of people who will drift away and grow cold, yet they still love God, but they refuse to hate what He hates. I want to make it really clear right now that hating what God hates doesn't mean that we become hateful. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference between hating what God hates and becoming hateful in our heart and behaving hatefully. Romans 12:9 says that love should be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. In other words, if I'm only loving what God loves and not rejecting what he hates, I'm being a hypocrite. That's what that verse says. Love should be without hypocrisy. Abhor or hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So if I'm only embracing the love, but I'm not hating what he hates, I'm being a hypocrite. And that's not what God wants. Let's look at Romans 12, because this passage is actually evidence that we can hate what he hates without becoming hateful. So will you turn with me to Romans 12? I'll find it. We're going to start at verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9, we'll start. This is the title, the little heading in my Bible says, behave like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. So this is what he's saying. You can love while still hating what God hates. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That is saying to us that this is love. Cling to what is good, but hate what God hates. I was at a get-together on Friday with some of the leaders from here and some of the MFG leaders, and there was just a conversation that was happening there that I was listening to, and it just was such a confirmation to me about what I wanted to share with you this morning. And the question came up, do we really consider the cost when we become disciples of Jesus? And do we really, when we're discipling others, do we fully teach them what the cost is going to be? You know, Mark 10, when Jesus was teaching or speaking to the rich young ruler. Now, as he, Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments: don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honour your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. That's what the word said. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go away, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he, the rich young ruler, was sad at this word. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he said to him, "You need to count the cost if you're going to follow me." As I said before, I think we'd be surprised how many times the word talks about the things that God hates. And I just want to look at three things this morning. There's a lot more in the Bible, but we've got 20 minutes, so let's just have a look at three. The number one thing that I want to talk about, and it's a very broad topic and it will cover a lot of things, but God hates sin. He hates sin. As Christians, I think we can really understand why he hates sin. Sin causes us to be separated from him. Isaiah 59, 1 to 4 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." How good is that on its own? "Nor his ear heavy, that he cannot hear." So this is describing to us who God is. God is big enough. God is there. He hears everything. He knows everything. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for the truth. They just trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. God hates sin because he is there wanting to love, wanting to act on our behalf, wanting to hear and answer our prayer, but our sin separates us from him. 1 John 1, 5 in the Amplified, I want to read it to you, says, "This is the message of God's promised revelation, which we have heard from him and now announce to you, that God is light. He is holy. His message is truthful. He is perfect in righteousness. And in him there is no darkness at all, no sin, no wickedness, no imperfection. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness of sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we really walk in the light, that is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, he with us and we with him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from all sin in all its forms and manifestations." God is good, but he hates sin. He loves us. He wants fellowship with us. He wants to act strong on our behalf. He wants to work in you and through you to show his glory to the world. But our sin separates us from him, and he hates sin. We need to have the same passion about sin as he does. I don't think we realize, and I need to just say to you right now, this has been a particularly difficult message for me to prepare because I am preaching to myself. If none of you hear this today, if none of you get anything, I'll stand here and I will preach to myself. I am not saying that I've got this together, and I know that you know that because you know me. You know I don't have it together, but I am preaching to my own heart. This just, when I was preparing these words and putting these scriptures down and reading over them, it was just striking me right in my heart. God, I'm so blasé about sin sometimes. Yeah, the big sin, of course, the big sin. And I'm not going to list sins for you today. I don't have a big list of sins. We need to read the word. We need to hear from the Spirit of God. What is sin? A definition of sin is doing what is wrong or not doing what is right, according to God's rules. And I think that's where I fall down. I don't know about you. I stay away from the things that are wrong. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't tell lies. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't speak badly. But the sin, I think, that catches me up and entangles me so often is not doing what I know I should. God hates sin because he loves you. We need to know the truth because we know it's the truth that will set us free. Read the word. Hear from the Spirit of God. Because, you know, it is all in the Bible, but the Spirit, it's every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God that keeps, he's talking to us all the time, telling us where to go. Look left, there will be your keys. You know, look in the newspaper, speak to that person. You know, don't speak to that person. How often do we do, we think we know the right thing. We'll speak and have an opinion to someone when God's saying, zip it. And we think, no, that is sin. We need to start calling sin what it is. Not a little white lie or a little tripped over there. Sin is sin. And we need to have a healthy knowledge of what that is. I know that it's those things that trip me up. While God, this is a quote from Charles Stanley, and it's something I've written down a long time ago, and it's just been sitting next to my Bible. While God never stops loving us, he will not dismiss our sinfulness. God loves us. We know that. We've been talking about that all year and establishing that fact, but he will not and cannot dismiss our sinfulness. So number one on my list of things that we need to hate as much as God hates is sin. And so often we're looking at other people. I want you to look in your own heart today. I'm looking in my own heart as I'm speaking to you. God, if there is any sin, you know, we talk about iniquity and we talk about trespass, and I looked up all those different words and they all mean sin. You know, some mean we sin sometimes willfully. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know myself, and if you're anything like me, sometimes I sin willfully. I know what the right thing to do or not to do is, and I choose not to. Even if God asks me to do something, sometimes I choose not to do that. That is sin. It's rebellion against God. You know, sometimes we sin deliberately. Sometimes we don't even realize we're sinning, but God will reveal that to us. You know, David in Psalms wrote, "If there be any wicked way in me, anything willful, forgive my willful, my unknowing sin. God, reveal it to me, show it to me." We need to be so aware of it so that the thing is we don't have to work at getting rid of it. I just read, you know, out of 1 John 1, the good news is his blood cleanses us, removes the stain of sin. We need to keep very short accounts with God, very short accounts with God about sin. The second thing I want to look at, hating what God hates, we need to, and I think a better way, it's knowing what we shouldn't love. Maybe that's a better way to put it. We shouldn't love the world. 1 John 2, 15 to 17 says this, "Do not love the world." Is there any explanation? You know what I mean? That's God isn't complicated. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, when we talk about the world, I want to talk about two different things. There's the world, the physical planet, Earth. And you know what? We're not meant to love it. All the things, this world is not our home. Now, we're meant to be good stewards of what God's given us. Should we take care of what God's given us? Yes, we should. But we are not, what I'm talking about is loving it more than him. Loving the creation more than the creator. This world is going to be gone. It is not our home. We are not going to be here forever. We get too attached to the world, and I'm talking about the physical world. You know, to desire, we're to be good stewards of what God's given us, but we're not to love it more or desire it more than God, or what he has in store for our eternity. And the other things are the things in the world, all the things the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, that's really what we feel like, what we feel like, what we want. The lust of the eyes is what we see. And the pride of life is our achievements and all of our, you know, building our homes and owning our cars and our careers and all of that sort of thing. So we're not to love the world or the things in the world. Let's have a look at Luke 14, 25. No, that's not the right scripture, Karen. Don't look at Luke 14. You can look at it, but that's not the one I want you to look at. Okay, let's just go. Our God is a jealous God. Did you know that? Did you know that one of his names, you know how God has different names, Jehovah and all those different names? One of his names is jealous. That's what he calls himself. But I want you to know that he's not envious, which is a sin. Envy is desiring something that someone else has that you want. It's theirs, they have it, but you want it. That's envy. Jealous, God is jealous for us in the sense that he desires what is rightfully his. We are rightfully his. So he's jealous for what is rightfully his. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want what's left of you. Or even, you know that God doesn't even want the best of you? God doesn't want the best part of you. He wants it all. He desires all of you. And he is jealous for you. James 4, 4 to 5 says this. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? God is really clear, isn't he? When he says what is, you know, we're not to love the world or the things of this world. If you choose to love the world, you are making yourself an enemy of God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain that the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously for us? And I like that when it says, do you think that the scripture says in vain? I think that we do think that sometimes. We read the Bible and we really don't think it means what it says it means, because we certainly don't live like we do. I don't know about you. So am I believing that it really says what it says, or do I not believe it? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So we're not to love the world, brothers and sisters. We're to take care of what is given us, but we are not to love the world. I actually have, there is something, just give me one second, because there's a whole lot of stuff in here that I want to talk to you about. I'm just going to go, because one of the things that God challenged me on was, one of the things that is in the world, the things that are of the world, are relationships with other people. And that might not be something that we consider a lot when we're thinking about that, that God is jealous for us. You know, I'm just going to find this scripture that I wanted to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the scripture where, you know that scripture, and maybe one of you can find it for me, where God talks about that we're to hate our brothers and sisters and our mothers and fathers. Have you all read that scripture? Do you all know that one? Someone can... The next verse, Luke 14, 26. Thank you. Let's go there. Thank you. Luke 14, 26, because I want you to see it for yourself. Oh, thank you, Nigel. I should have just read. I panicked when I saw that wasn't the one I wanted. It was like, okay. So now great multitudes went with him, and he turned to them and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's a pretty hard scripture to understand, isn't it? It can seem like it. What the Lord is saying to us is anyone, any relationship that we value over and above him is not right. Would you agree with me there? We need to be prepared, church, that, you know, Jesus said, he did not come to bring peace. He didn't come to bring peace. There is not going to be peace on the earth at this time. He came with a sword. And the truth is, and I know because it happens in my own family, that, you know, there are going to be times when I cannot agree with my, you know, with the beliefs of my mother or my father or whoever it happens to be. And God says, you need to love me even above that. Even if it means losing that closeness with them. You know, this is what I'm talking about, counting the cost. We need to count the cost. And remember, sin is also not doing what God says we should do. So it's not enough to be silent sometimes. I've been particularly challenged in my own extended family with some issues that I find they're very much not lining up. People are choosing to do things that are not lining up with the Word of God, if that's how I can put it. Now, I have been challenged with, I don't know what to say in that moment, but I also know that not saying anything is not the right thing. That's not right either. I'm really having to go to God and say, God, what is your response to this? What should my response be? You know, like I said before, sometimes he tells us to be quiet. Sometimes he tells us to speak. But when he tells me to speak, I need to be speaking what his reaction, his response. So I'm particularly being challenged in this area of relationships. We need to count the cost. He is jealous. And even if it comes down to we lose every other relationship that we have, me and you, God, me and you, God, he is jealous for us. Okay, the last one that I want to talk about is really a follow-on for this, from this, and this is a very subtle area that we need to be aware of. We are not to love the praise of men. And this really follows on from what I was just talking to you about just now with relationships with our family. I believe that this can be a big trap for us, whether we realize it or not. John 12, 42 says this, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." So this is talking about they believed in Jesus, right? So many of them believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What a sad scripture. Here we really have a group of people who they're hearing Jesus, they're seeing Jesus, they believe him. In their heart, they believe him, but they would not confess him. They would not say, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to live my life according to what he says because of the Pharisees or this group of people over here. They were so afraid of what they would do to them. It would mean they wouldn't be able to come and sit in where the seat they normally sat in, or they wouldn't be admitted to that social group, you know. So they chose not to confess the Lord. I find myself challenged when I'm around certain groups of people. Should I say that because they might not like me anymore? They might not admit me into their circle anymore. It might go against everything that they believe in. We may not realize that we love the praise of men more than God, but what about the many times that we stay silent because of what others might think or say? Jeremiah 17 says this, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited." Now the next verse, I think you could all quote back to me. "But for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." So here we see two groups of people. If we can choose the praise of men, you can choose that today. And you can choose to save face. I can choose to save face. But then what I'm choosing is to be like a shrub in the desert. I don't like that. I don't want to be a shrub. I want to be a tree. I don't want to be a shrub in the desert, stunted, and not seeing even when good things come my way. I want to be a tree planted by the waters that spread out my roots by the river, and I won't fear when the heat comes. That's what I choose. It goes back, doesn't it, to Deuteronomy when God says, I'm going to put choices before you. I'm going to put this choice, life and death. You can choose life. You know, I find it amazing that God, we've been talking about this in our ladies' Bible study group, God will protect with everything that he is our freedom of choice, our free will. That's what it's all about. He will. If you choose to go to hell, God will protect that choice. He says that you can choose that, but that's not what I want you to choose. And he puts the cost before us so that we don't even have to go and research that ourselves. He says, you can choose death, but this is what it will bring for you. Or you can choose life, and this is what it will bring for you. And then, I've said this many times from this pulpit, I love that he gives us the answer. It's like an open book test. He says, choose life. That's the answer. Choose life. But the sobering thought is, God will protect your choice. I choose. I want to make that choice to be a tree planted. So I want us, what I'm really saying today is the love message, we can't be hypocritical. We need to love what God loves, but we need to hate what he hates. And we need to be so passionate about not having it in our lives. God, let there be no sin in me. I don't want to love the praise of men more than I love your praise. I don't want to love this world. I find myself getting attached to this world. I didn't even know it's happening. I don't know if that happens to you. You just get caught up in life. You get caught up in doing things, and all of a sudden you look and you are finding yourself more and more attached to this world. Relationships, particularly for me, is a weakness where I will find myself being more attached to this world than I am to him. When things aren't going well in relationships, or even when they are going well, I find myself more attached to that than him. God, let me be so aware of that. I value those relationships and I'll continue to work on them and appreciate them, but never let it get to the point where they've come above you. God, let me remember that you are jealous for me. He's not jealous of you, he's jealous for you. And I don't want to ever, God, yeah, have valued what men say above what you say. Psalm 97:10, I want to finish with this. I just love the simplicity of the word. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of wicked. Let our love, church, be without hypocrisy. We're deceiving ourselves if we believe that we can love what he loves without hating what he hates. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8 says, is to hate evil. Will you stand with me? I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you this morning that you are a good, good Father. I want to thank you for your love, and I want to declare today over my life and over this church that we are a people who know that nothing can separate us from your love. No demon, no power of hell, nothing that man can do can separate us from your love. You don't love us, we know, because of who we are. You love us because of who you are. But God, I pray for us today that we would love with maturity, that we would be mature in our love, that we would not only embrace what you embrace, but we would reject what you reject. Teach us by your Holy Spirit how to love what you love, but how to hate what you hate without being hateful. Lord, we want to show this world what it means to live in your kingdom. So God, I pray for each individual, each person in this room that can hear my voice today, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would quicken our spirits to see any area in our life that we have been placing above you, any area where we have been either doing what we know we shouldn't be doing, or we haven't been doing what we know we should be doing. And I pray that we would know that it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray that we would continue to be challenged as we meditate on your word this week, as we look at what it means to love the way that you love. That we wouldn't look at it through rose-coloured glasses and just seeing all the things that we want to see, all those lovely parts about it, but we would also, Lord, learn how to reject what you reject. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. And I just pray a blessing upon every person in this room today, Father God, that as we walk out of here, protect your word. Let it be planted deep in our heart. We refuse to allow the enemy to steal what you have planted in our hearts today. Bless you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.com.